And there's intimacy on the radio, and there's naturalness on the radio that can never be replicated on TV. The marvelous resurgence of radio as a political force in this country.
News-related radio programming is evolving.
There's a huge hole in our dialogue that can be filled by the synthesis of traditional radio and the freedom that comes from a live podcast. You're about to experience Cowboy State Politics live. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Cowboy State Politics Live from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Wow, it's been quite a week in politics. We don't have a Speaker of the House right now, though I can't say that I'm actually missing the guy. I didn't want him in the first place. And now it seems that there are people in Washington, D.C. that have come to the same realization. The problem, of course, is that all of it is being blamed on Matt Gaetz. All right, Matt Gaetz did initiate the motion to vacate. But is Matt Gaetz really to blame for all of this? Nope, not at all. It's totally Kevin McCarthy. You see, Kevin McCarthy made a bunch of deals to become Speaker. He put his political ambitions above those of the country. He wanted to become Speaker so bad that he would do almost anything to make that happen. So a couple of the deals he made was to allow one person to be able to bring the motion to vacate. Now, let's talk a little parliamentary procedure here for just a second. A motion to vacate, or normally, is not what is called a privileged motion. A privileged motion comes before any other business in the House. So there are five privileged motions that are in parliamentary procedure. That's a motion to adjourn, set the time to adjourn, a motion to recess, point of personal privilege, and I think it's point of personal inquiry. But those are the only five. And what happens is when a member of the body jumps up and they say, point of personal privilege, everything stops. They could be debating in the middle of debating a bill, and everything stops. A privileged motion comes before anything else. Well, what McCarthy did is he allowed Matt Gaetz's proposal, I guess you could call it, to allow only takes one person to bring a motion to vacate, and they made it a privileged motion. So as it sits right now, it doesn't matter what the House of Representatives is doing. One person can bring that motion to vacate and everything else stops. So the problem with that is it puts us very much in line with the parliamentary system of government. You ever notice in Great Britain how it's really easy to get rid of a prime minister? I mean, it seems like that they get rid of prime ministers all the time. The one of the most recent ones, she only lasted a month or two. And the reason for that is they can bring a vote of no confidence at any time and they'll have a vote and they can get rid of the prime minister. So a motion to vacate and a vote of no confidence, really, there's no difference. Now, one of the reasons why our country is so stable and why our Constitution has lasted over 230 years is that we have stability. In America, it's very, very difficult to change just about anything, and it ought to be that way. Government is supposed to run slowly. It's not supposed to run at a rapid pace. We're not a democracy, no matter how many people claim that we are. We are not, nor have we ever been a democracy. A democracy is mob rule, and that's kind of what you saw in the House of Representatives this week, where one person brought the motion to vacate, everything ground to a halt, and then they got rid of the speaker. Now, did Kevin McCarthy deserve it? Absolutely, he did. He made those deals, and then he didn't live up to them. The first problem, the first mistake he made, well, first mistake he made was in making those deals, but the second mistake he made was the debt ceiling fight that happened back in May. One of the deals he made was that there weren't going to be any more omnibus spending bills, that there weren't going to be 1,000-page bills dropped on everybody's desk in the middle of the night that nobody is going to read. That was supposed to end. And then we had this whole continuing resolution business that we just all of us just witnessed. So not only did he not stand up for what the Republicans in his caucus wanted, they didn't want to increase the debt ceiling, and they certainly didn't want a continuing resolution. In fact, Kevin McCarthy negotiated with Democrats to make that happen. So, yes, Kevin McCarthy absolutely had it coming. However, I quibble with his with the decision of the House of Representatives only in this one point, in that I think the timing absolutely sucked, that there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in the House of Representatives right now. There's the Committee on the Weaponization of Government. There's the impeachment inquiry. All of those, both of those things are tremendously important, and there's a whole laundry list of other stuff that's going on. So we had to stop all of that and choose a new speaker. Secondly, as I played for you on the program yesterday, Harriet Hageman distilled all of this down to the reason why, to the three reasons why she voted for Kevin McCarthy in the very beginning. That the choice they had at the time was between Kevin McCarthy, Hakeem Jeffries, who's the head Democrat in the House, and some sort of coalition speaker that would be chosen by the most liberal Republicans in the House and the Democrats. So Kevin McCarthy, in that sense, was the lesser of three evils. Now we're in a place where we have to choose a new speaker, and the Republicans don't have a very big majority. So do you think that all the liberal Republicans in the House are going to want a conservative candidate? Are they going to want a Jim Jordan or a Steve Scalise, even though I think Steve Scalise is kind of a, I think he's kind of a liberal Republican, establishment Republican too. But now there's the possibility of having a far less conservative speaker, and that could have disastrous consequences for all those things that I mentioned. So it's my point here is that wrong choice, right time. Or excuse me, wrong time, right choice. And I understand there's the politics of expediency, that you have to do things right now. Memories fade after a while, and it'd be much harder to get rid of Kevin McCarthy later on saying, hey, remember what he did back in October? I get all of that. But I think that Matt Gaetz jeopardized all of those things that are going on in the House of Representatives right now. And like I say, right choice, wrong time. So that's the big thing that's been happening in politics this week. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff. So today I'm joined in studio by the lovely Christine Sturtevant of the new podcast, The Hair Affair with Christine. Christine, welcome to the program.
Well, hello. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So why don't you just take this opportunity and tell us about your show?
All right. Well, my show I had launched this week on October 1st, and it's not always about the hair is kind of my theme for the show. And basically, you know, I'm a hairstylist and I work in a salon, and there's all kinds of things that can happen within those four walls, right? So, I mean, it could be about hair talk. It could be you know, we're not supposed to talk about politics and religion, but that happens.
Like yesterday.
Yes, like yesterday. So you just never know what I'm going to be talking about. I do have a dedicated show every Sunday, though, it's called Sunday Stylist, or Stylist Sundays, excuse me. And it's started out thinking I was just going to create the show Stylist to Stylist. But really, I think it's great for anybody that's, you know, interested in becoming a stylist, because this podcast is really for anybody of all ages. And it's a little bit of everything under one. It might have a hair theme, but I've got great people lined up for interviews that are going to be on future shows here, and I'm going to have a special Veterans Day edition also. So stay tuned. Make sure you dial in to The Hair Affair with Christine and check it out for yourself.
Well, it sounds fascinating. So where can people find this show of yours?
Well, just the same as you, it is on Podbeam or wherever you listen to your podcast live. And also, you can go to my website, which is thehairaffairwithchristine.com. And on that website, you will find all of my social media platforms, whether it's Podbean or it's my Facebook pages. I have a personal salon Facebook page, and then I also have one dedicated just to the podcast.
And soon, though no definite date has been released yet, soon we'll be able to find you on the Independence Network, correct?
Those are the rumors I'm hearing. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be a pretty good rumor. You know, just the people I've been talking to.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We'll bring some hair to that then.
Excellent. So we begin this morning with an announcement. Next Thursday, that will be Cowboy State Politics Live. It will start being on the Independence Network. I've decided to go ahead and move the live show to the Independence Network. So starting next Thursday, you won't hear this program here on the Podbean live stream. You'll have to go to the Independence Network to find it. It's pretty easy. You just go to the website, independencenetwork.us, and there's a play link right in the middle of the page. And it'll just open up a player and you can start listening to whatever is broadcasting on the network. So starting next Thursday, this program will be over on the Cowboy State Network. It'll be over on the Independence Network. Every morning beginning at 9 a.m., you'll have my program, and it's going to be from 9 to 11. And, you know, it might be a replay of another Cowboy State Politics live episode, or it might be a live episode, but you can hear that every morning, every weekday morning from 9 to 11. There's a ton of great content that's going to be on the Independence Network, my show, Just Blame Joey, The Ramble Room, Christine's show, and we've got a bunch of other contributors that are going to be joining the network as we go along. So it's an exciting time. We're starting a brand new media adventure, and I'm jumping out of my skin, getting ready to do it. It's hard for me to explain, but it's a pretty exciting time. Also, if you haven't bought tickets to the launch party that's going to be held in Sheridan on Saturday evening, you need to do that. It's going to be a fantastic show. We've got a lot of guests lined up. To get your tickets, and yes, they're still available, go to independencenetwork.us. And right up at the top, you'll see a link to go to the ticket site. So make sure you do that. Like I said, there's still tickets available. Individual tickets are $50. Or if you want a VIP table, man, I'm having trouble talking today. If you want a VIP table right up close to the stage, those are $500. And you can get those at the same ticket site. So anyway, Independence Network, going to be an exciting time, and we're looking forward to bringing all of it to you. After the break, we're going to start out with a media source in Wyoming actually acknowledging that there's an issue or that there's a story where all other media sources have decided to cover it up. So we're going to start there, and we'll continue with the program. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. I shouldn't have to remind you about any of this, but hunting season is here, my friends, and it's time for you to start gearing up for it. I know, that's going to make the wife extraordinarily happy, but it has to be done. One of the best things that you can put in your hunting pack is a pair of really warm socks. And the best socks that I have ever worn are made by the Buffalo Wool Company. Most of the time, the first thing to get cold on my body are my feet. And being a diabetic like I am, I'm really, really sensitive to it. Now, I've tried Pendleton wool socks and just about every kind of wool sock that you could possibly imagine, and nothing compares to these Buffalo Wool Company socks. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. Wyoming is one of the most sought-after places to live.
I talk about it all the time on this program. There's a lot of people that want to move to our great state. There's beautiful mountain vistas all the way from Sheridan to Saratoga and from Hewlett all the way to Jackson. It's an amazing place, and there's a ton of people that are moving here. If you're buying or selling, you need a real estate agent with experience. The best person to talk to is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Last year, she sold $25 million worth of property all across the state of Wyoming, from small residential properties all the way up to giant ranches. She's lived in Jackson for 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market all across the state of Wyoming. So it doesn't matter what type of property you're looking for or if you're thinking about selling, give Rebecca a call, 307-699-3519. That's Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson, documented to be almost always right, at least 98.8%. Good Lord, I can't talk. Anyway, I'm right a lot of the time, way more than the Wyoming media. And I'm joined, if you're just joining us, I'm in the studio today with the lovely Christine Sturdivant from the Hair Affair. Say hi again, honey.
Good morning.
All right, now let's get down to it. We begin with the Carbon County Comet in an update to the story we brought you about Woody, Joshua Woods. Now, this guy, man, he's awesome. See, he used to work for the Carbon County Library System until somebody filed some sexual harassment charges against him. And then while that was happening, he took some pictures of himself exposing himself in the library. And then he posted them on a pornographic website. But that's not the end of the story. Josh Woods is now the vice chairman of the Wyoming Press Association. He's also in charge of Stevenson Newspapers. And this story has not come up in any of their papers. So a listener sent me this article yesterday, and it's from the Carbon County Comet from Saturday, September 30th, 2023, and it's called No Cover-Up Here, and I'm just going to read it to you. I think this is great, and then we'll talk about it. Quote, in the heart of Saratoga, a story unfolds that demands attention, but the Carbon County Comet finds itself in an unusual position, one driven not by a desire to conceal, but to ensure impartiality. We tread carefully concerning the Stevenson Newspaper Organization, which boasts ownership of the Saratoga Sun, and Joshua Wood, director of Stevenson Newspapers and the vice president of the Wyoming Press Association. Allow us to provide a glimpse into our past for context. Dana Davis, which, by the way, I talked to her last night. She's a super nice lady and seems very dedicated to journalism. Dana Davis and Mike Armstrong, former employees of the Saratoga Sun. Remember the time there were mixed emotions. Dana, a graphic designer, editor, and Mike, a reporter dedicated years to the Sun. Our departure from the paper was not a choice we made willingly, but rather one forced upon us by Gary Stevenson, the owner of Stevenson Newspapers, and Wood himself. Given the history of strained relations and the unpleasant circumstances surrounding our exit, it's only human to ponder if our potential coverage of this unfolding story might be tinged with a desire for retribution. Let us be unequivocally clear. That is not our intent. At the Comet, our goal is to uphold the high standards when reporting the news of Carbon County. We recognize that our personal sentiments could inadvertently cloud the objective truth, and we won't allow that to happen. The facts must stand on their own merit. The heart of the matter at hand is the possibility of a media cover-up. While we refrain from extensive reporting on the issue due to our aforementioned reservations, we are trying to address concerns. There exists podcasts, Just Blame Joey and Cowboy State Politics, who have raised legitimate questions surrounding Wood's involvement in this story. However, our recommendation is to examine the sheriff's report and Wood's trial and subsequent judgment transcripts, which are public information. Furthermore, for inquiries regarding the vetting process and the Wyoming Press Association's role in this matter, we encourage contacting the Wyoming Press Association directly.
In these times when journalistic integrity and transparency are in question, the Carbon County Comet stands firm on its commitment to truth. Our reluctance to delve deeply into this particular story stems not from a desire to hide, but from a drive to preserve the fundamental principles of impartial journalism. Now, I don't, and this is a hard one for me because I've been dealing with the Wyoming media since I started the program. And as a whole, they hide stuff. They pick and choose their stories, stories that are definitely important. They won't report about it because of their own political considerations. So credit where credit is due to the Carbon County Comet in that they acknowledged that the whole deal about Josh Wood, Woody, is a story and the Wyoming Press Association's involvement in it. So at least they admitted that there's a story, which is much more than I can say for any of the Wyoming news outlets, the Cowpie, the Pravda on the Platte, anybody at the Wyoming Press Association. They should be ashamed of themselves for not reporting on this and concealing the truth about Josh Wood. Now, Christine, you've been around this whole story. You were right here when Joey and I were going through it. Why don't you just give me your thoughts on what you just heard and the whole story?
Well, the whole story is just absolutely disgusting. It's hard to believe that these things even exist, like where people just have all these fetishes and can just freely post and that somebody thinks it's okay to do what they've done in Woody's case and make money off of it. And it's just disgusting. As far as the article release, I kind of go back and forth on that a little bit, honestly, but I have not been in this business as long as you have. So I did hear the conversation that you had with Dana. Was that her name?
Yeah.
Okay. With Dana last night. And she did seem very friendly, very understanding your point of view, I guess, and all, but I still think I understand why or what they said or why she said they didn't bring this to the public knowledge. But at the same time, I still feel like it should have happened.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, journalism is journalism. And the whole point of being a journalist, and if you look it up in the dictionary, it's literally to journal the day's events and present them in a factual, unbiased way.
Right.
You know, what I do on Cowboy State Politics is I make it very clear what is fact and what is opinion. And I don't think that anybody ever has any question about where my opinion starts and where the facts end. Most of the time, all of my opinions are backed up by facts anyway. You know, even when I call people redcoats, I mean, there's a factual basis as to why I do that. But, you know, I understand their reluctance to cover the story. However, I really do think that they ought to have, you know, and it's a hard one. Carbon County is a small county. I mean, even though geographically it's big, I mean, there's a pretty low population there. So, I mean, I understand that. I get it. Kudos to them for acknowledging the story. But I really wish they would have reported on it.
But at the same time, what did it take for them to acknowledge and to print the story? You know, and that's what's frustrating, because being a step parent at one point in time myself, as a stepmom, I want to know when these things are going on in the public library. Because what if that was my child? Or what if that was my friend's child? Or it doesn't matter. It's children, you know, and I have the right to know. Period. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, that this story wasn't bigger absolutely shocks me, because, you know, growing up in Buffalo, everybody knew what you did before you did. And by that, I mean, is the rumor mill was so efficient that one thing could happen and it would be through every salon that day. Yep. And the newspaper would get a hold of it that night. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible to me. So and here's another point, too. I've done a couple of episodes on library boards. And, OK, you know, as politics go, libraries right now, they're kind of in the news. But generally speaking, the overall day-to-day functions of a library, not breaking news. But a story like this is front page, small town news. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thank you to the Carbon County Comet for bringing it up and for acknowledging that it's a story and for giving the credit where credit is due to Just Blame Joey and Cowboy State Politics. Moving on to a media outlet that doesn't apologize for covering stuff up, the Cow Pie.
Oh, yay.
See, now back in May, Cowboy State Politics did an extensive study into events happening at the University of Wyoming. We had undercover video of a drag training that was sponsored at the University of Wyoming. We had FOIA requests of how much money the university has spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if you're wondering, diversity, equity, and inclusion spent north of $740,000, and multicultural affairs spent around over $900,000. So $1.6 million spent on just diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I got to tell you, my friends, if you haven't watched the video of the undercover video from that drag training, go to my YouTube channel and check it out. I mean, the video's there. Some of the things that were said during that drag training are absolutely unconscionable. At one point, they said, F the kids. And I mean, it just blew my mind. And oh, by the way, I did confront President Ed Seidel about that. And we're going to talk about him a little bit later. But I've got some audio from that investigation and what happened there. So now drag shows are something to write about at the Cow Pie. Claire McFarland writes in an article entitled UW is hosting both a drag show and Riley Gaines this month. See, now drag queens are a story. See, what they're doing here is they ignore stories that are critical of the University of Wyoming and critical of their favorite pet politicians. And I'm talking to you, Claire McFarland, right now. You ignore stories that are absolutely important to Wyoming citizens, and you cover them up, just like Stevenson newspapers. You don't write about them. You don't want people to even notice them because it might damage your political relationships. But now, since it looks favorably upon the university, oh, now you write about it. How hypocritical can you be? Anyway, in the article, and I quote, "It's a clash of opposites. The University of Wyoming will host a drag show and a speech by social conservative women's rights activist Riley Gaines that month." How fair of them. There are critics railing against both events, said UW President Ed Seidel in a Friday statement. Yeah, Ed, I got something coming for you a little bit later in the show. Chad Baldwin, UW spokesman, told Cowboy State Daily on Monday that conservative commentators have been speaking out against UW hosting a drag show. While some LGBTQ activists disapprove of the plan to host Riley Gaines, a top collegiate swimmer who now speaks against the inclusion of transgender women in women's sports. Oh, my Lord, there's so much to unpack in there. It's not that we disapprove of drag shows. We don't want to pay for it. The problem is the University of Wyoming spends our tax dollars paying for this filth. Now, I don't care if they want to use their private contributors' money to do it. I don't care at all. But don't use my tax dollars and don't try to hide it from the public like you did before, Claire McFarland. So now that I'm off my soapbox for the time being, What are your thoughts on it, Christine? Since you've been right there with this whole story.
I have, yes. You know, it's just another incident where you're reporting on junk when there's more important things out there to be talking about. So I don't know. I guess I'm more excited to be talking about the whole situation with Seidel later on that you have coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's fun.
That I was there for.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, the whole point here is that it's media hypocrisy. And this is just another example of why we're starting the Independence Network, because news outlets in the state of Wyoming, they lie to you. They don't show you both sides of the story. They hide stuff intentionally. They're constantly critical of conservatives. Oh, they'll print articles from conservatives, letters to the editor and such, but they're always titled something derogatory. Mm-hmm. They are never critical of one of their pet liberals, one of their redcoats. And all the time, when Clark Stith or Albert Sommers or Ogden Driscoll or any of them write something, the cowpie boosts that to the top of the page so everybody can see it. A case in point, my letter that I wrote to the cowpie. They buried that thing. It went all the way to the bottom, and they didn't even push it at all.
And probably misquoted you.
Well, actually, no. In that one, they printed it word for word. But my point here is that it's entirely partisan. They lie, they either by commission or omission. It doesn't really matter. But the one of the main things that the Wyoming media does is they lie repeatedly. And it's absolutely disgusting. And that's why we have to have the Independence Network. It's a place where we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to tell you the truth and just kind of let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, that's the way journalism is supposed to be done. You know, you're supposed to work hard to bring people facts. And that's just something that the cowpie and all of them, they're not interested in. After the break, we're going to talk about an interesting development with Hunter Biden. You know, we all want him, you know, hung from his own petard for, you name it, man. The guy's got a list of crimes a mile long that if any of us committed them, would be in the stockade right now. But apparently, he's actually got a good defense, and I can't believe I'm actually going to agree with Hunter Biden's lawyers. But we're going to do that after the break. We'll get back to the program in just a second. But first, some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumber than a box of rocks, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing before you decided to run for office. New episodes of the program are published every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday morning. And don't forget about the Thursday live episode that begins every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You know, the show you're listening to right now. You can find the link at cowboystatepolitics.com or on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Have you been looking for a new place to advertise your business? Well, I'd suggest advertising on this program, Cowboy State Politics. It's Wyoming's most listened to podcast. Now, the difference between advertising on the radio and on a podcast is most people just have the radio playing in the background and they're not actively listening to your message. People who download a podcast are there to listen to the whole thing, so you can be sure that your message will be heard. I have a statewide platform, and no one is going to beat my advertising rates. Shoot me a message. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. I would love to get that conversation started with you. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone, Wyoming's most listened to podcast. And I don't know if you know this, my friends, but not that long ago, Cowboy State Politics surpassed 200,000 downloads. As far as I can tell, that's never been done in Wyoming history. Cowboy State Politics is the most listened to podcast in Wyoming. It is a powerful force in Wyoming politics. If you're just joining us, I'm in the studio with me today is the lovely Christine Sturdivant from The Hair Affair. You ready to talk about guns, Christine?
Sure. Bing, bing.
From ZeroHedge.com, an article entitled Hunter Biden to Mount Second Amendment Defense Against Gun Charges. Now, my friends, this is fascinating. And this is why I said, told you before the break that I'm probably going to agree with Hunter Biden's lawyers here. So here we go from the article. Quote, Hunter Biden on Tuesday entered a plea of not guilty to federal charges relating to lying on the form he submitted when he bought a pistol in 2018 and to being an illegal drug user in possession of a firearm. Now, remember, not that long ago, Hunter Biden tried to plead guilty to these charges for lying on a federal form. Now, if you've never bought a firearm, first of all, you live in Wyoming, man. Come on. Everybody here has guns. Just get with the program. It's part of living in Wyoming. It ought to be mandatory. But if you, when you go buy a gun, there are a whole bunch of questions that, frankly, a squirrel could answer. And one of those is, are you a user or are you addicted to I think it says narcotic, but I can't remember the exact language. Basically, are you a drug user? And if you mark yes on it, first of all, your application is supposed to be denied, and the guy selling you the gun is not supposed to sell it to you. But in this case, he lied on the form and said he was not addicted to crack. At the time, Hunter Biden was a crack fiend. The article continues, quote, in a heartwarming twist for those who treasure the human right of armed defense, lawyers for the son of the country's gun grabber in chief declared they will argue that the principal charge violates the Second Amendment. Their argument will exploit the Supreme Court's pivotal 2022 ruling in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. The court not only struck down a New York law restricting the carry of concealed firearms, but in doing so also laid down a standard by which all gun laws are to be judged. Specifically, the court said that to justify any gun law, the government must demonstrate that the regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. Now, that's called the Bruin test. And it's honestly, I was surprised when it came out, because the Supreme Court, or at least the Supreme Court that I've grown up with, is not so inclined to tell people you have to look at the four corners of the document. Certainly, Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas, both of those guys definitely are originalists. But, you know, the court, for the most part, they tend not to look at the four corners of the document. Well, that's until we had Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. So now there have been several decisions where they've said, hey, man, you got to go back and look at the original intent behind the Second Amendment. So there's this great interview by that has Antonin Scalia in it. And he describes how he goes back and tries to determine what the original intent the framers had when they wrote the Constitution. Like, what was going on at the time? You know, would they have been in agreements with this restriction or with that law? So the question here is, would the founders have set, would say, should a drunk or a drug user be allowed to carry a gun? And I don't know, man. I think that they probably would not have restricted that. Certainly, there were a lot of soldiers that were drunks. I don't know about the drug use, but we can talk about alcohol. But certainly, there were a lot of people who had substance abuse problems. Definitely not as many as today. We had a very different culture back then. But I don't know that the founders would have said, you know, you can't carry a gun just because you drink alcohol. Now, of course, that question in the ATF form doesn't say alcohol. It says controlled substances. And it's specifically referring to, you know, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, those sorts of things. So I don't know, Christine, what do you think? You think the founders would have said, well, no, man, you're high all the time. We can't let you have a gun. What do you think they would have said?
Well, is that even a question?
I don't know.
I think that I really don't think that would have been a question then. Like you said, the culture is different. So was it a problem? Sure. I mean, I know the ladies liked their cough syrup, if you want to say that. But anyways, I don't know. I don't have.
Well, let me give you another case.
Okay.
So I don't remember the name of this case, but this is one that Antonin Scalia talked about in this interview. And I'll go back and find that and post a link at the website. It's fascinating to listen to. But the case revolved around the police's use of heat cameras or infrared heat cameras. And what they were doing is trying to track down the guy who was selling pot in the town. So they went by this house, and using their infrared heat gun, they noticed a tremendous amount of heat coming from this guy's house. They get a warrant, bust in. Yep, he's the guy that's growing, you know, 150 pot plants in his basement. Well, the court ruled in that case that heat gun would have been akin to looking through somebody's window. And the founders definitely would not have been in favor of that.
Right.
And so while it may not have been a question at the time, we can imagine that there were probably some people who were your average everyday barfly drunk, drunk all the time. So the question is, would the guys that wrote the Constitution look at that individual and say, there's no way that guy needs to have a gun? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't, like I said, I can't answer that question.
I think that a lot of them would be, you know, Second Amendment absolutists, because, I mean, the Second Amendment was written as a defense against tyranny. It didn't have anything to do with hunting at the time.
Right.
It literally was to prevent tyranny. So, you know, I would think that maybe the founders would say, oh, no, we can sober this guy up and, you know, we can get him marching in line. So it's an interesting question. And, you know, I think that it's entirely appropriate that we have reasonable restrictions. But there again, words mean things. Oh, wait. I need to play something.
2 + 2 = 4, not 5 if you want it to be 5. And this is not to be discriminatory. This is to stand up for language. Words mean things.
Words mean things, mm-hmm. Right? So what is reasonable? I mean, and that's a question that's been tossed around courts for a very long time. What is a reasonable restriction? Now, if you listen to George McSorry, who's probably the Second Amendment expert in America, he's actually at the University of Wyoming. There's a great interview with him that I did back in, I think it was in May or April, right around the same time of the UW episode. But in the interview, he says that citizens should absolutely have the same armaments as the military because the Second Amendment was written as a defense against tyranny. So, I mean, what that speaks to is some Second Amendment absolutism, that there should be no restrictions. So, I mean, this is an interesting question. And, you know, personally, I don't want to be around a drunk guy that's got a gun.
No.
I mean, at the cabin, there aren't very many rules at the cabin. In fact, one of them is you can do anything you want, but if you start drinking, the guns go away. Yeah, we'll even let you have a chainsaw if you're drunk, but not a gun. If you chainsaw, you'll only hurt yourself, theoretically. But, you know, this is an interesting question. And, you know, generally speaking, I'm in favor of getting rid of any type of gun control. But, you know, that whole question of reasonable kind of sticks in my head. You know, what is reasonable? So we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to delve into this whole Ed Seidel situation.
Yay.
Right. And we'll do that after the break. We'll finish up the program in just a second, but first, one more absolutely obscene profit timeout. Are you the type of person that thinks it's a good idea to go buy a box of hair color at Walmart, do it yourself, and then when it doesn't turn out quite right, why not just try to do it again? That, my friends, is how you end up with orange hair. Let's be honest, not that many of us know exactly what is going on with that box of hair color. That's why you just shouldn't do it. A better idea is just to call Christine at the Bombshell Studio. She's a certified Redken specialist, and she knows exactly how to get you the exact look that you've been wanting. All the while to keep your hair healthy, which is exactly the opposite of what will happen if you go and try to do it yourself. So give Christine a call. Her phone number is 307-752-4844. That's Christine at the Bombshell Studio. Do you like hot wings? Yeah, me too. In fact, I'm obsessed with them. And the best hot wings in the state of Wyoming are from the Wing It food truck. They travel around the state, going from town to town. All you have to do is go to their Facebook page, the Wing It food truck, or go to cowboystatepolitics.com and look underneath the sponsors tab, and you'll find their schedule there. You know, I personally recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're absolutely amazing, but they've got several other different flavors, not just hot wings or garlic parmesan. You'll find exactly what you've been missing this entire time. So go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, and look underneath the sponsors tab, And that way, you can plan your entire week around where the Wing It food truck is going to be.
I get it. Actual summer was really kind of short in Wyoming. And we all know what that means. Fall is here, my friends. And with it comes some pretty unpredictable temperatures. You need to be prepared for all of it. Sometimes we have all four seasons in the same week. One of the best ways that you can do that is to get a nice warm hat from New Trend Hats. They have a wide variety of hats for both men and women, and they're sure to keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. So go to their website, newtrendhats.com, and make sure you're prepared for whatever is coming. And now, the conclusion to our program. David Iverson behind the most powerful microphone in Wyoming politics, cowboy state politics. I'm joined by Christine Sturdivant from The Hair Affair. Ed Seidel. Oh, how I've missed you. It was such a delight meeting you the last time. Wasn't it, Christine?
But really? Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we may have had some fun.
I had a blast. Now, to refresh your memory, the University of Wyoming was hosting an event called the University of Wyoming in Your Community. Now, I was immensely curious about this, what they were doing in our community. And so I thought, why not just ask Ed Seidel about it? Here it is. Maybe. Where'd it go?
Come on. It's on there, right?
Yeah.
I know.
It was. Oh, here we go. I was a little bit confused as to what UW President Ed Seidel was planning for my community, my stomping grounds, as it were. So I asked him. Yesterday, at the Whitney Center for the Performing Arts at Sheridan College, I confronted UW President Ed Seidel with the undercover video that was shot April 13th at the University of Wyoming. A couple of provisos before I play what the good president had to say. It took me a little bit to get the video to play on my tablet, so in the interest of time, I've edited out that little section. Secondly, to make him fully aware as to what the video contained, because in it you'll hear him say that he couldn't hear it, I had to use a word that I'm not going to play on this program. Recently, we've had enough vulgar language on the program, so you're going to hear the old censor beep. Keep in mind, this is the exact same video that I played on the program last Wednesday. Pay attention to the silences, where Ed Seidel is choosing his words very carefully.
Do you have a few minutes? My name is David Iverson.
Hi, David.
I own Cowboy State Politics.
Okay.
I've been investigating a couple of things that have been happening at the university, and I wanted to show you what I've found and get your reaction.
Okay.
So what it is a drag show at the university that happened on April the 13th. And in it, did you hear what she said?
No, I didn't. I couldn't hear.
So he says, in ballroom, we say pussy a lot. We say pussy and that's what he says. So do you think that's an effective use or an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
Well, I wouldn't say such things, so just say that, but...
Well, it happened in the education auditorium, sir.
Students will do interesting things sometimes. I was not there. I didn't see it. I wouldn't say such things myself.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more where that comes from.
All right.
At one point in the video, and I'd be happy to provide this to you, but at one point in the video, they say F the kids.
Okay.
I mean, do you think that Wyoming citizens would appreciate our university doing this?
I would not. I would think many people would find that offensive.
Many people did find that offensive. Now, isn't it fascinating that the president of the University of Wyoming
wouldn't own up to what was done on his campus. And again, if you want to see that whole video, go to my YouTube feed, look back to May, and you'll find it. From the Pravda on the Platte. In an article entitled UW Seidel Reaffirms Commitment to Free Speech on Campus, and I quote, controversy has surrounded the University of Wyoming over the last year. Last December, the school suspended Laramie Church Elder's tabling privilege after he hung a sign singling out the school's first transgender sorority member, arguing that transgender people don't exist. That's not what the sign said. It said, God created man and woman, and Artemis Langford is a man. That's what the sign said. So, Ed Seidel claims that they're all about free speech. Well, they're definitely about free speech if you're a drag show, or you want to put on a drag, or if you're a drag queen, or you want to put on a drag show. But they're not so into free speech if you're a conservative. Now, they are hosting Riley Gaines during the same month as their upcoming drag show, but they're using that as the example of how they've changed. They've turned the corner. Look at us. We're inviting Riley Gaines. Do you think that they're going to continue that? What do you think, Christine?
Oh, no. And are we stupid? No. I don't know. See, I can't even get the words to come out of my mouth with this.
I'm having trouble talking today, too. Well, you were the person that shot the Ed Seidel video.
Yes,
why don't you talk to me about that?
Well, you know, it was rather fun because, that was my first time doing anything like that. And so I really honestly didn't know what to expect. But somehow I managed to really enjoy how he knew he was caught. We've done the research on him in this whole situation up until that point, and we know who he hangs out with and how much he really does truly support what was going on. But then when he's asked on the spot, he couldn't answer you, and he had to kind of, you know, jump around a little bit. He didn't know what to say. And I think still my favorite part was, one, watching him shake in his boots a little bit, but two, because you're so intimidating, by the way.
Oh, I'm terrifying. Very, very terrifying.
Yeah, so scary. And then also, I don't know if you posted this on your website or anything like that, the actual video itself of it, but did it show the very last shot that I caught before I turned the recorder off?
Oh, that's the best part, man. Deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
man.
And doesn't that just tell its story right there?
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of stuff they're hoping to bring to all of the Wyoming communities?
Well, yeah, UW and your community. Well, Ed Seidel has written a letter about how important free speech is to
boy.
Him.
Okay, yeah. let's see what he's got.
And I quote, a fundamental principle is that the university plays a unique role in providing a neutral forum for the deliberation and debate of public issues. I'm with him so far. Ed Seidel wrote, providing such a forum does not mean the university either endorses or condemns the different perspectives expressed. Well, I don't know about you, honey, but $1.6 million says a different story, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Oh, man. Yeah. So again, the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion last year spent around $762,000. Multicultural Affairs, which that's the overarching center where diversity, equity, and inclusion is. But except for DEI, Multicultural Affairs spent around $940,000. So in those two endeavors, that's where you get the $1.6 million. Now, they would not answer how much of that was our money, which leads you to believe that $1.6 million was all of our money. Listen to this next paragraph. Let me know what you think about this. From Ed Seidel, quote, while some groups and individuals outside the university have criticized UW for allowing such activities, the university must continue to provide access to its campus without censoring certain groups, Seidel wrote. Students and others involved in these activities have the right to express themselves within legal limits under protections provided by the First Amendment. What do you think about that? Who do you think he was talking about?
Well, I have a pretty good idea who he was talking about, but I can guarantee that it wasn't just Cowboy State politics, because Cowboy State politics broke the story. And then there were some others that tried to follow up on it and get some answers. So is he going to censor everyone? Because some of those he just can't.
Yeah. Well, and it's, again, this is, you got to bring the media into this one too, because I had a pretty good screaming match with somebody at the Cow Pie about this, how they didn't report on any of it.
I remember.
You know, and it's the thing is here that the media is complicit with all of these groups that are using your money to put on drag queen story hours. The subsequent investigation we did to the university down in Rock Springs, that's another telling one.
Yes.
Because they didn't report on that one either. And I find that one way more offensive than the University of Wyoming one. You know, we had an undercover journalist down there and he videoed the whole thing. And there was about a dozen children running around that one.
And walking up to these things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Giving them money.
In the video, you had, you know, little children walking up and giving these drag show participants like dollar bills, like you would a stripper. And then in one part of the video, there's a very, very, very young person, a boy, a little boy who's dressed up as a woman. And I mean, it's frankly, the whole thing turns my stomach. Yeah. But you didn't see the media report on any of it. And here you have Seidel saying that, oh, we're all about free speech. Yeah, try being a member of Turning Point USA on the University of Wyoming campus, or just being a conservative. When I was down there for that interview with George McSorry, there's LGBTQ propaganda all over that place, in every building. And I didn't really walk around the campus that much, but there's propaganda all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, try to tell me how you're an open forum for all groups. I mean, Ed Seidel is a liar and he covers up what his university is doing. I mean, it's just absolutely disgraceful. And kind of an update to this story, and I find this one pretty humorous. There was a group from Colorado that went up to the University of Wyoming and they put rocks out everywhere where they could see them. And some of the rocks said, you know, Artemis Langford is a man. Now, Artemis Langford is the person that joined the UW sorority. He's a man, most definitely, and he joined a sorority. And that's what that big lawsuit was about. Well, the thing is that Artemis Langford did an interview when he was accepted into the university. He was very, very public about it. And now Artemis Langford is the state committee woman for the Democrat Party out of Albany County.
Wait a second.
Yeah, that's what I said. Committee woman for the Democrat Party.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so he is most definitely in the public eye. Now, this, if you're a politician in any state, even in Wyoming, you open yourself up to all sorts of criticism. If you're a public figure, pretty much it's open season on you, and people can say just about anything that they want unless it's not true. It's very, very difficult to prove defamation if you're a public figure. Well, I would submit that doing an interview, being a state committee woman for Albany County, and all of the press that Artemis Langford has got, he is most definitely a public figure. And as such, this group that came up from Colorado and put these rocks all over the place, that's not hate speech at all. But that's not the case if you listen to this article. Quote, three out-of-state activists placed flyers and rocks with discriminatory statements Thursday evening near a University of Wyoming sorority that made history last year by becoming the first to admit a transgender woman, police and LGBTQ advocates say. University police responded near the Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority house after the three activists began placing flyers on vehicles parked along King Avenue, school spokeswoman Chad Baldwin told Wyophile. The three also placed rocks painted with messages on the ground and wrote in chalk on the sidewalk. Many of the messages, Baldwin said, related to the sorority's admission of the transgender sister. Wyoming Equality and LGBTQ advocacy group described the messages as derogatory, hateful, and intimidating. Now, if you're a public figure like Artemis Langford, and people are putting statements around that are absolutely the truth, like you are a man, is that discriminatory or hateful, Christine?
Heck no.
It sounds kind of truthful to me.
100%.
So how could that be hurtful in any way?
because he has feelings.
Oh, they hurt his delicate little feelers.
Yes.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have made himself a public figure. The article continues, quote, out-of-state extremists tried to intimidate a UW sorority today. Now, keep in mind, this is written in the Pravda on the Platte, the statewide newspaper, the paper of record. I don't know if that's actually official for, you know, a law or anything, but they claim to be the paper of record. And they're saying that out-of-state extremists, people who just happen to think that you can't change your genetic code, they're extremists. They tried to intimidate a UW sorority today. They placed rocks around saying things that are true. They vandalized the campus. They wrote in chalk on the sidewalk and menaced young women with hateful messages printed on a stack of rocks. I mean, it's so bizarre. It's hilarious. Wyoming Equality Director Sarah Burlingame said in a statement last Thursday, this is how you know they aren't from Wyoming. They are cowardly and cruel. So what? I mean, why are they cowardly? Seems like they got their message across. And are they cruel? No, they were stating the facts.
So what defines somebody from the state of Wyoming then?
I don't know. I'm pretty opposed to drag shows at the university, and I'm definitely opposed to not speaking the truth. So does that make me hateful and cruel?
Well, yeah.
Oh, clearly. Clearly it does. Oh, enough of this drivel. Moving on. Contempt for press freedom, since we're talking about the media today. Tucker Carlson has said that the United States State Department has barred him from interviewing Vladimir Putin. This is from ZeroHedge.com. And I quote, Tucker Carlson reports that the United States government prevented him from interviewing Russian President Vladimir Putin. Carlson told the Swiss magazine, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, that he had sought to arrange an interview with Putin, but U.S. officials blocked him. Quote, I tried to interview Vladimir Putin, but the United States government prevented me from doing so. Think about the implications. Now, Carlson told the newspaper that on September 24th. Worse, according to Carlson, no one in the United States news media supported his right as a journalist to report on the Russian leader's views regarding the Ukraine conflict. So, the freedom of the press. Now, the United States government is saying who can interview whom. We already know that the United States government was heavily involved in social media during the last election, pushing posts down, having various posts deleted off of social. Yeah. Banning people, clearly censoring people. The one that always sticks out in my mind is when the New York Post broke the story about Hunter's laptop. I mean, there's no question that that was his laptop. And immediately they had Twitter. I think it was on. Yeah, it was on Twitter. They had Twitter remove that post and they banned the New York Post, one of the biggest newspapers in New York City, from posting about it, clearly censoring it. Now, here's what the State Department said about that when asked by a reporter.
One more question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson said in an interview to a Swiss.
This will be good.
Yeah. He said that the U.S. government obstructed him from taking an interview, interviewing Vladimir Putin. Do you have any comments here? Do you know anything about it?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
No idea what he's talking about. Of course they don't. They wouldn't censor a journalist now, would they?
Hmm.
See, this is just another reason why we need the Independence Network. I mean, definitely in Wyoming, when we have the Pravda on the Platte, the Cow Pie, and just about it, Stevenson newspapers, and just about every media source in the state not giving you the truth. And so, my friends, if you haven't bought your tickets for the Independence Network's launch party, which is going to happen Saturday in Sheridan, go to independencenetwork.us and get you some tickets. There's a link right up at the top that'll send you to it. Also, remember, next week's installment of Cowboy State Politics Live will be on the Independence Network. All you got to do is go to the website. There's a link front, dead, and center. And, go ahead and do that. Also, if you've listened to the entire program, I have a special treat for you. I have two tickets to give away to the Independence Network launch party. Trust me, they're valued at $50 a piece, and we're going to put you at a table pretty close to the front if you do this. So what I need you to do is send me an email, and I will give the second person and the fourth person to email me a free ticket to the Independence Network launch party. The address to send me that email is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. And Christine, you've got a little promotion going on too, don't you?
Well, I sure do. Don't leave me out.
Well, I would never.
All right. Well, if you go to the Independence Network Facebook page, you'll see a post on there that was shared from my personal page. And it's going to have a little, I don't know, it's a little scavenger hunt game, but I promise you it will only take 5 minutes at the most. But there are instructions on there on how you can get an additional 2 free tickets to Saturday night's events. So make sure that you hit up the Independence Network Facebook page, and everything will be posted right there on what to do. Pretty easy. And hey, 2 free tickets for a few hours of laughs.
Well, that's actually 4 free tickets, because I'm going to
You have 2, I have 2. So 2 + 2 = 5.
Yeah. Well, if you ask the Pravda on the plant, it does.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So to reiterate, all you got to do is shoot me an email saying you want to go to the launch party. I'll give the second and the fourth person a free ticket to the launch party. Also, you need to go to the Independence Network Facebook page, and there's instructions there on how to get two more free tickets. So make sure you do that. It's going to be a heck of a good time, and we'll see you on the Independence Network launch party on Saturday and Cowboy State Politics Live next Thursday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.